Rejoicing Him who rules today upon the heavenly throne, where saints their hearts they'll tribute pay and make their homage known.
No earthly king so great as He,
who rules all worlds in majesty.
Good morning, Oscoda and Tawas areas. My name is Scott Busich, and I am the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day and hope that you enjoy your time with me as we search the Scriptures. You are invited to join us this morning for worship at 5726 Cedar Lake Road at 11 a.m. and then again at 6 p.m. There's also a Bible study on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and then another one Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. All of these services are broadcast live on Facebook, and you're welcome to join us there. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you're always welcome to call or text me at 989-305-2721 or send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the Scriptures. We are in the book of Haggai today, chapter 2. The Jews in Haggai's day had been instructed to build God's temple, or to rebuild, actually, which they set about doing. They did rebuild God's temple, but it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same as the previous temple that was. It wasn't as big, wasn't as glorious, it wasn't as much as the last one was, which really is no surprise. When Solomon built that first temple, much treasury was used to do so. All the stones were cut away from the temple site so that no workman's hammer sound was heard on the Temple Mount. Exact finished stones were transported from the quarry to the Temple Mount. Cedars were brought from Lebanon to the Temple Mount for the building, paid for with food to King Hiram. And these cedars covered all the stones so that there was no stone to be seen. The temple was 3 stories tall. Everything was overlaid with gold. The temple pillars were cast bronze. Everywhere were carvings of various animals, trees, and fruits. And this whole process to build Solomon's temple took 7 years to finish. 7 years. Contrast this with the new temple. Read with me. Haggai chapter 1 verse 1 reads, "In the second year of Darius the king, in the 6th month, on the first day of the month, that is when the word went forth from Haggai that the people should rebuild the temple." Haggai chapter 1 verse 12 reads, "Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message, 'I am with you,' declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people." Here it is. "And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king." So what we find here is we're only 24 days into the same month in which the message first came to Haggai, and all the people are working together to build the temple. Look ahead with me to chapter 2 and verse 1. "In the 7th month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. 'Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people, and say, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not, for thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Remember how the first temple took 7 years to build? This temple, this one only took a month to build. No wonder it doesn't compare with King Solomon's temple. It doesn't matter what technological increases a society has. Building a temple like Solomon's is going to take more than a month. Actually, it's rather impressive that they were able to build a temple at all in a month. So this new temple, it doesn't compare to the first temple. However, they built it just as God had wanted. Job finished. And yet, when viewed by even those who made this temple, they knew it was just a mimic of the real first temple. Those who had seen the first temple knew that this second temple was nothing like the first. And yet, God is with them. Because God didn't tell them what size or kind of temple to build, just to build one. And so they built one. It was the Jews who wept. It was the Jews who were concerned about how this lacked in the glory of the former. It wasn't God. God gave them the promise that he would be with them if they would build the temple. And they did that. God wanted a temple built. They built one. And so God was with them. For God keeps his covenants. And all the way through that latter part, when he talks about the future, he talks about being the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the angelic armies. And this is important. We'll get back to that. Now, some terrible things will happen to the Jews in the future. Things which God had foretold them would happen through the prophet Daniel and Ezekiel and others. However, because of their faithfulness here in Haggai, God promised to be with them, unlike when he left them during the Babylonian captivity. That happened because of their faithlessness. Now they're faithful. They've built the temple, and God will be with them even during the hard times. And those hard times are coming, for God had already told them that Alexander the Great was coming, followed by his very ungodly generals and their descendants and all the things that will transpire. And after that, there's going to be another nation, the ungodly Roman Empire, and all that transpires with their evilness. Through all the pain, the heartache, the destruction, God was with the Jews. His spirit was with them. But there's also another promise given by God through Haggai in this chapter. He says in verse 6 of chapter 2 that yet once more he will shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, the dry land, and all the nations. And as a result, God's house will be filled with glory and peace. Now the question, of course, is, well, when is that going to take place? When is God going to get into action and do what he promised to do? God keeps his covenants, and this God, the God of the angelic armies, he is going to do what he said he would do, because that is who God is. This point of Haggai is very important for us to understand, that God is going to do what he says he's going to do, and he holds his people to account. He expects them to do what they say they're going to do. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, starting in verse 18. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborns who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. The writer of Hebrews, he lets us know, we've not come to the mountain that the Jews came to. When they came to the mountain, they weren't allowed to touch the mountain. If they did, they were told that they would be stoned. If an animal touched the mountain, it would be stoned. And the people begged not to hear the voice, for they feared. And that mountain is Mount Sinai. This is the Ten Commandments. This is the law of Moses. They came out of Egypt. They went to Mount Sinai, and God made a covenant with them. Just as Haggai reminds us, God keeps his covenants. When that message was delivered, the people, they begged. They begged not to hear it anymore for fear. And even Moses, who spoke with God face to face, even Moses trembled with fear. Now, we Christians, we haven't come to such a mountain. That was Mount Sinai. We Christians, we have come to Mount Zion instead. Mount Zion, instead of smoke and fire and thunder, that's Mount Sinai. Mount Zion is a place of the heavenly Jerusalem, and it means this, the heavenly Jerusalem. This good news means that no matter where we are on this planet, we have access to God. We don't need to travel to Israel. We don't need to travel to Jerusalem. Wherever we are, we have access to the heavenly Jerusalem. And it is a festal gathering with the angels and those who have gone before us, the saints. Mount Zion, instead of smoke and fire and thunder, is a place of worship and a place of love and peace, the place of the heavenly Jerusalem. Unlike Israel in Moses' day, we don't have to travel to some little postage-sized country in the Middle East. Not only do we have access to the heavenly city, we also have this festal gathering, this feast. Christians, this is a joyous occasion. We Christians and the Old Testament saints together through Christ, worshiping God, this is the new covenant. However, there's a warning for us in this book of Hebrews. The Jews, they didn't escape when they failed to be faithful. They did not escape when they failed to be faithful. That's why they went into captivity with the Babylonian Empire. That's why when they come back out, Haggai has to tell them, look, you guys are being disciplined by God because you didn't build the temple like you're supposed to. God held the Jews to account. They said they would do these things. They said they would obey his voice, that they would keep his commandments, and that they would follow him. Now, if that's what God did with the Jews, what do you think happens to Christians? We too will be held to account if we are not faithful. We have to keep our covenants. God keeps his covenants. He keeps his promises. And likewise, he expects the same from us. This is the point. God told us through Haggai that once more things would be shaken. Once. That means that when God shakes creation, there's no more shaking. This one time it's going to happen. And after this, no more. Once more, he says. Once more. Everything that is to be and all those things that are not to be are not. Everything that can be shaken is gone. All that remains is the kingdom of Christ. God's kingdom is. There is no more kingdoms. There is no more new covenants. There is no more new additions, no more new revelations, no more new prophets, no more new messiahs. Our world's filled with people that'll tell you that, oh, we've got this prophet over here. We've got this revelation over here. We've got these apostles over here. That is all a bunch of hooey because God told us in Haggai that once more he would shake. And the writer of the book of Hebrews tells us that that took place when Christianity was established, which means there is no new revelation. There's no additional books to our scriptures. The Bible we have is it. There's nothing more to be added to it. There's no additional Messiah that's going to be showing up. There's no additional prophets that will be showing up. There's no additional apostles that will be giving us messages. Because the message once delivered, delivered to the saints one time for all time, the book of Jude tells us, has happened already. There's nothing more to add. We Christians, we have access to God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. And so once more, we need to keep in mind, God's kingdom is, there is nothing more to add to it. Christianity is our only hope. There is no other name under heaven by which man may be saved. As the writer of the book of Hebrews tells us, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Jesus has a kingdom that will never be replaced, his kingdom. And we are in this kingdom if we're Christians, this glorious kingdom. Unlike the law of Moses, Jesus' kingdom is forever and ever. There is no more kingdoms after this. This is the promise God made through the prophet Haggai. Once more, he will shake. And remember, God keeps his covenants. This is, again, the lesson from the book of Haggai. God keeps his promises. He is the God in charge of the angelic army. He is the leader of all of the angels. And he tells us that he does what he says he will do. And he expects the same from us. God expects us to keep our covenants as well. As the writer says in verse 25 of Hebrews, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking. This is important because that means, yes, we can, Christians, we can refuse God. Now, I don't recommend it, obviously, because the warning is there that if God punished the Jews, what do you think happens to the Christians? But it also means that there's repercussions for rejecting God. Just as in the days of Haggai, in his book, there were repercussions for the Jews not building the temple of God like they said they would. Likewise, we Christians will be held to account for our actions in this new kingdom, in this new covenant, as we walk in this new temple. So let me encourage you Christians today. God has given us a better temple, a better covenant through the blood of Jesus, our Savior, a better covenant than even the law of Moses. And we get to enter the heavenly realms at God's invitation for a great celebration. God has given us a kingdom that will never end. It will never be replaced by another. This kingdom is ruled by his son, Jesus. He is the head of the church. He is our Lord and he is our Savior. And as such, the writer tells us, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Acceptable worship. What does that look like? That is worship that follows the covenant that we made with God when we are immersed into Christ. And we say that we will follow Jesus as our Lord, taking him as our Lord, as our Messiah, taking him as our King. It is Jesus that is in charge, and he tells us how to worship. Not me, not us, but Jesus does. Acceptable worship. This is God's plan. Recognize that this is God's plan. Hundreds of years before Jesus is born, Haggai told the people that once more the earth would be shaken. Once more the heavens would be shaken. Once more all of creation would be shaken. And what remained would be there forever. Listen to what Paul writes in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 7. He writes this. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Paul knew what Haggai was writing about. Paul, as he wrote to the church in Ephesus, letting us know that we have the forgiveness of our trespasses, that God with his grace has lavished upon us with all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, that everybody can enter into the kingdom of God. This is God's plan. This is God's purpose, which Paul tells us he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, meaning before creation, God had a plan to save us all from our sins, from our trespasses, from ourselves. And Haggai is just another prophet telling us the same thing, that God once more is going to shake the earth. And when he does, what remains will never be shaken. And what remained when he shook the earth is this, the kingdom of Christ. And again, I cannot emphasize this enough. There's no additional kingdoms after this. There's no additional prophets. There's no additional messiahs. There's no additional apostles. There's no additional teachings. We have everything we need in the scriptures that have been given to us, starting from Matthew, finishing with Revelation. Of course, including our Old Testament, starting from Genesis and ending with Malachi. All of those books teach us everything that we need for life and godliness. There's no more. There's no additions. There's no pluses. And we don't need them. Because what is has already been shaken. And so what remains will remain forever. To ignore the prophet Haggai, church, is to our neglect. We can know that God's plan is not for an earthly temple, but a heavenly one. God's plan is to give us peace, and all the glory will be given to God because he has saved all of us and given us a holy heavenly kingdom with peace and love. I hope you've enjoyed our time in the scriptures today. I thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, or help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just north of the old Kmart in Oscoda. And I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning, or feel free to call or text me, 989-305-2721. Send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.
Hallelujah to the Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness. We will worship him alone. Too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. And I stand.
stand.